2884 for your appointment today, or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
eBay has gifts that say a lot, but don't cost a lot. So save big on a DeWalt drill set for dad that says, "Let's get to work." Tell your all-star niece it's time for takeoff with Air Jordans at not-so-sky-high prices. And get a certified refurbished Bose soundbar for your husband that says, "We're going to need a bigger home theater." Say a lot, save a lot on gifts from eBay for those who mean a lot.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We can help you out and get you ready for the colder weather ahead. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got replacement batteries that fit your needs, starting at just $79.99. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination. Claim based on data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Another picture-perfect fall day in the New Orleans area. And, of course, maybe around a lot of the state here as well. In the 70s, it's going to be like this for the next couple of days that I know of. So, do you want to do what I'm going to do this weekend?
What are you doing?
Christmas decorations. I have to. See, normally I travel during Thanksgiving, so I'm always used to doing it the weekend before. Mm-hmm. I have it to where you just plug it in, and on Thanksgiving night, that's when a lot of people normally, yeah, right? Thanksgiving night is the first time you do them. So I'm used to doing it this weekend anyway. And with Thanksgiving a little bit later this year, because 25th is actually going to be before Thanksgiving. It's Wednesday. So if you wait till the weekend after Thanksgiving, which used to be the, it's less than a month.
You feel like you're trailing in the game.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so, you're starting to touchdown down. Yeah,
exactly, yeah. Right. Mark Shafisi, Gus Kattengill with you, Jordan Kleber. Jordan, quickly, the big news of the day in the world of the NBA.
Yeah, Klay Thompson suffered a season-ending Achilles tear, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. So his season is over before it even started again. So.
We had Daniel Salison in hour number one to kind of go over what took place yesterday in the NBA draft. Mark, I did this just for you too. Cliff Notes version is real simple. Kyra Lewis is the newest member of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Everything TBA.
Exactly.
To be determined. That's
exactly.
Good. Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
Here's Stan Van Gundy on Kyra, then we'll get to some Saints talk.
Yeah, look, I'm excited about a few things with him. His speed and quickness, both in transition to push the ball and to get in the paint and make plays. I think those are outstanding, but I'm also really excited about what we think he can do at the defensive end to pressure the ball, maybe even get up the floor at times, 94 feet, and pressure the ball. So that part is something I'm excited about. And then something nobody's really talked about, but you know, friends of mine in the NBA, guys in the scouting. I mean, I had so many people texting me tonight when I was sitting in there. Hey, great pick. And I had three different people say, he's really an underrated shooter, too. Don't let anybody tell you that he can't shoot the ball. He can. It's just his ability to get in the paint is sort of the thing you think about with him. So I'm excited to coach him and to get him in here. You know, we're not going to see him a lot ahead of time, quite honestly, because of the COVID rules and everything else. You know, the building is going to be shut down starting Wednesday next week, you know, for 6 days. So, you know, he's going to get here right before camp starts, and there we go. But I'm excited to see him.
don't know about you, but that excites me. Again, you just heard Stan Van Gundy say the one thing you think about with him, and he was mentioning too, the ability to get down the lane and draw. I love that. I love that. The fact that he can shoot, handle the basketball, play defense, another thing that Jay Bill has said. This guy's a good on-the-ball defender. That's something the Pels lack. So it'll be interesting, the mix, right, with Lonzo Ball and how that goes.
And and when they were talking about, when Salazar was on, talking about Lonzo Ball playing off the ball, well, I don't see that as his strong point. Now, Daniel knows more than me, but.
Well, look, that's a question mark for me.
Yeah.
Because Lonzo Ball is not a shooter.
No.
I don't think of Lonzo as a scorer or a shooter or a guy to pen it. So what are we doing off the, now, if your theory is, well, we can move the basketball now on two sides of the court, depending who has it, and there's more ball movement and it's easier that way, fantastic. But yeah, it's going to be something interesting to kind of keep an eye on, that is for sure. Malcolm Jenkins, you remember back in the day when he was with the Eagles, Cowboys, Saints, Falcons. Bigger rivalry to you? Do you think it's localized?
Well, it's provincial.
Okay.
I think nationally people will say Eagles, Cowboys. Down here it's Saints, Falcons. I think it's all provincial. It's LSU, Alabama here for us. In Tuscaloosa it's Alabama, Auburn. That's a big rivalry. Okay. So I think it depends on the teams or region of the country.
Very good point. I still think one of the best NFL draft moments. Remember when you still had people I like how now it's in a different city. Every area. When it was in Philly and you had the Dallas Cowboy Hall of Famer get up there to announce the Cowboy pick and he starts giving it to the Eagle fans, I think it's one of the best moments ever.
I like it. It's
absolutely.
It kind of World Wrestling Federation up the NFL.
So to you have to have a lot of gall and some onions if you want to rile up the Philly crowd.
Yes.
A crowd you don't want to rile up.
That makes it good.
They fight each other. Did you see the YouTube videos this year alone of the few fans that get up there? They're fighting one another.
It's different up there. It's different up there. Santa Claus skipped that place on December 24th.
Malcolm Jenkins was asked, better rivalry, Eagles, Cowboys, Saints, Falcons.
Now, I think it's different. I think they're very similar, but, even – it's one of those things where it's not just the two teams, right? It's the two cities. It's the fan base. Everybody kind of circles these games, and they always end up being interesting, regardless of what the records are, regardless of where it is in the season, whether it's home and away. It's always one of those interesting games that has some historic battles. And obviously, Saints Falcons have, especially here in New Orleans, it just has a different ring to it. And I think players understand that. I know I do, and have been a part of these battles. But that's what makes it fun. That's what keeps this rivalry going.
When he's talking about the fans, you have to give the edge to the Saints Falcons because the cities are so close, and I'm sure there's a lot more travel. Dallas is in the NFC East, which doesn't make sense, but they want them with the big market teams on the East Coast.
Right.
So I would think fan-wise, maybe more down here even than it does with Dallas and Philadelphia, because you got the more fans going back and forth, I believe.
And like the Masters, a tradition like no other, is Saints fans traveling to Atlanta for road games to pack the Georgia Dome back in the day and now the new stadium.
Yeah, the Mercedes.
But like Jordan did last year.
I did. I took a video outside a bunch of Saints fans chanting Hoodah. And the police came over to make sure we were all okay.
Is that what they were doing? To make sure you're okay. Yes. You were okay. They didn't ask you to keep it down?
No.
No.
They try to take lots of videos.
They probably didn't. They're not used to that many fans outside. Actually,
having a Falcon game. No. They bring you books and study in there.
I asked you, what are the top storylines going into it this week? And obviously, I guess it's the quarterback, right?
It's
team playing without Breeze.
Yeah, it's this year's version of last year when Teddy Bridgewater played five games. This is toward the back end of the season. The back third, but it's a Winston instead of Bridgewater. Bridgewater had a reputation and a resume of protecting the ball. Jameis Winston doesn't. Jameis Winston's a better athlete than Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think there's any secret to that. Probably the best athlete. Well, Taysom Hill's a really good athlete. He's the best throw, the stronger arm of all the quarterbacks in black and gold. But I think running your offense and making sure that. He knows what color jersey his team is, and he doesn't throw the ball to the other team.
So the interception thing's still a concern for you, right?
You have to. Yeah, it has to be. And then the other thing, of course, is who you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing the Falcons, but they're not the Falcons from the first week of the season when they gave the game away against the Cowboys, not covering the onside kick. Raheem Morris has taken over. He's 3-1. He's a guy that used to coach the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's game planned against Sean Payton and the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
For a bit, he was Jameis Winston's head coach, so a little more familiarity with that. Although obviously you had that with the Falcons anyway, but the Falcons are playing much better this last month of the season. Obviously at 3-1, and you know, there's a reason Drew Brees is the starting quarterback. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer, so it is a step down at quarterback. There's no question. But Sean Payton is a really good coach. I think he's a really good leader. He keeps his thumb on his players to hold them accountable, which I think it separates him from most coaches. He holds his players accountable. And I think he'll be able to get the Saints through this thing, you know, against the Falcons with a backup quarterback. Because remember, this backup quarterback was the first pick in the NFL draft 5 years ago. It's not like Bridgewater, who was the first round pick, but you know, in the late teens, the early 20s with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are the two things. And the other thing is Taysom Hill. Do you see less of him because now he's your second string quarterback, and you don't want him getting knocked out the game catching a pass from Jameis Winston, and then you got no backup. So and Peyton did it last year. He didn't add a quarterback to the roster last year when Bridgewater had to play. And, you know, so he's gone through this drill for a five-game stretch last year. So you know, you expect the defense to show up. I know they have injuries, but I really think it's on the offensive side of the ball and keeping the things rolling, because the defense, more often than not, comes to work and shows mm-hmm. up. So
I think it one of the things that's interesting, too, and that stands out to me, is, yeah, there's a step down, obviously, because somebody knows the offense a little bit different. But we both talked about it, too. We'll talk with Ross Jackson coming up next segment. I wonder if you could do maybe a little bit more. Throw the ball deep. A few more shots. Use the mobility of Jameis Winston. Yeah, move him around out the pocket.
We talked about that earlier, and I think it will give the defenses maybe a little more to think about, because he can throw the ball down the field 55, 60 yards with authority. And, you know, maybe you do that once or twice in the first quarter. So you give the defense something else to think about. And I'm sure they're thinking about that anyway, planning that. And obviously he can move a little bit more than Drew Brees. So, you know, Sean Payton can add a few wrinkles to his offense this week, I would think.
You mentioned Sean Payton being a good coach and offensive-minded and things of that nature. And, look, he's smart from this aspect of it, too, right? I mean, John Forcade said it Tuesday on our show.
I think
before a game for him, he would sit down and he was asked, hey, give me your 10 plays you want to run this week. Drew's talked about mm-hmm. it, that on Saturday night they sit back, they sit together. You know, he, Carmichael, and Sean, these are the plays I really think it's going to work, when we want to call them, which quarter. I mean, they're specific.
They got their hits.
Yeah, exactly. They know when to do it. They set up plays.
Yes.
We're going to run this one in the second quarter, use it in the fourth quarter. So that's why I try to explain to people, they're going to do the same with Jameis. Hey, what are some plays you're comfortable
with?
What
does he do best?
Yeah. What do you want to use your mobility and throw? Do you throw better on the, you know, rolling to your right, throwing to the left?
Yeah,
do you want to do a play action? Are you comfortable throwing on a right hash mark a deep ball? Do you want to throw it back across? But like, what do you want to do? And then guess what he gets to do this week that he hadn't done? Practice those plays.
He's getting all the
exactly
he's getting
right.
all the first team snaps. Yeah. During the week, I don't know what they get. Maybe 10% the backup quarterback. I don't even know. It's not much more than that, because you can only get one quarterback ready to play each week. But he's going to get all the first team snaps, or the vast majority. I'm sure to give Taysom Hill a few first team snaps.
It's also going to give him some time, I think, to start building a connection with Michael Thomas. He was high in a couple passes last week, and still, that's a tough environment to come in and then all of a sudden get that timing down.
Because really, you're not expecting to play. I mean, you have to be ready.
Teddy Bridgewater last year apologized for not being ready against them in the Rams.
The Rams, yeah.
And then they won five in a row. So, you know, let's do it.
Apology accepted.
I go back to Sunday, and Jameis was asked about getting a chance to play that opportunity, because this is something nationally was talking about as well. The phrase, go get your bag. You know, go get your bag of money. If Jameis Winston, over the next seven games, however, if he plays a full seven, five, four, however many, and the Saints win more than lose them, or win them all, he just secured a contract, I think, next year, whether it's here or somewhere else.
He'll get a prove-it deal with another team short-term, mm-hmm. or if Drew Brees retires, and that's my guess.
Right. He's not only auditioning for everyone else. He's auditioning for here.
He'll get a prove-it deal here. Yeah,
exactly right.
I don't know. 2 years, $30 million. 1 year, $20 million. Something like that. Maybe less, but he'll get a prove-it deal here. Okay, it's your job for a year. Can you keep it? I agree with you.
Here's Jameis back on Sunday, and again, listen to the end of the bite.
I was very comfortable. I was excited that I had a marvelous opportunity, and I just knew that my main job was to go in there and do what Drew would do. So just protect the football and try to lead us down there in school.
It's the first time we heard him verbalize what all of us envisioned and thought of when we saw that he signed here. He's signing here to study under him. You've mimicked him. It's November. This isn't August now. This is not September. He's been here quite some time. He has an idea what this offense does. And again, Mark, you keep bringing it up. He's been a starter. We can make fun of him all we want, but Tampa the last several years has been a team we've all said, okay, this is the year they take the step.
His play was like the stock market, right. Up and down.
Well, he's had bad coaches, man.
Yeah.
He's had bad coaches.
He's never had a coach and stuff like this. He's been a five-year starter, and he was the first pick in the draft. He's still a young
guy. He won a national championship. Yes. He's not terrible.
And he's still a young guy. It's only his sixth year in the league.
I'm not calling him a Hall of Famer here. What are you grinning about?
Why
are you grinning?
Making the comparison.
You got the elf on the shelf grin again.
I'm making the comparison, you know, to maybe one Mitchell Trubisky who doesn't have a great head coach.
There we go.
He's a better prospect
Thank
than
you.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Thank
I, yeah,
you.
I really, I think that. I,
Thank
yeah,
you.
He's a better
See
prospect.
What I have to deal
he's
with?
A better prospect
Ross
than
Jackson. We'll ask his opinion. Locked on Saints. He's a pro. We'll hear from him next on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. You know that's against the
rules. Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any make or model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors. Chevy. Find new roads.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is paying the taxes on every item you purchase up to $4,000.
At Ramsey's, we give you a magical price.
And offer you long-term financing.
With approved credit and until the end of the day on Saturday, we're even paying all the taxes for you.
If someone says they can give you a better deal,
don't believe one word of it.
My sister and I were born in New Orleans.
We're not going to let you down.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is the largest diamond store in Louisiana on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover from Men's Total Health. Having paid them a visit at their office in Metairie and speaking with Shane, I've learned so much about the effects of low testosterone and how it's not only physical. You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life emotionally, sexually, even sleep patterns. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment with Andrea today. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
At Ross Jackson NOLA. It's the way to follow Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, editor of Canal Street Chronicles. Ross, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Doing very well, man. How are you holding up?
I'm doing fine. Happy Saints Falcons week, sir. It's hate week.
It is hate week, and we're hating. We're hating hard over here. We're hating so hard. Jacksonville players are hating.
See, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, I want to get into it, but it's Thursday before I can actually really start feeling that way. This week has just been something else. Obviously, not only the NBA draft yesterday, which I agree with you. I saw you said, hey, go follow Jake Madison. That's why we have him on. to explain what happened yesterday. But you know what? The Breeze thing put a damper on it. 11 players on the injury report puts a damper on it. So where do we start, man? What do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, I mean, we'll start with that feeling, right? The feeling is absolutely right. I mean, Alvin Kamara goes out there, he scores 3 touchdowns. The Saints defense stands up. They allow a touchdown on the opening drive, 3 third down conversions, touchdown in the red zone. And then after that, they absolutely lock up against the San Francisco 49ers. And you get great play from, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was just electrifying on the field. Same as DeMario Davis, David Onyemata. And you can't really be too excited about any of it because at the same time and in the same game, you lose Drew Brees for what they're calling 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. I think it's going to be longer than that personally. But, you know, that's just my own pure speculation. But it's tough to, like, come out of that game where you should be talking about all the positives, but really the only thing that was really on the mind for anybody at this moment is what does this team look like next week without their quarterback?
So I look at the injury report and – Ryan Ramczyk, limited. Malcolm Brown, limited. Alvin Kamara, limited. Marshawn Lattimore, limited. Okay, I'm okay with that. We know we were expecting to see Drew Brees didn't practice. Okay, I got that. Right. Cam Jordan, maybe it's an off day, but they have back on him there. Whatever, I expect them. The ones that concern me are Josh Hill, Tre'Quan Smith. We saw them leave the game concussed. And I'm saying I'm concerned because Sean Payton kept addressing it when he was asked about Brees and the adjustments that he had to make at halftime. He's like, look, to y'all, Breeze is a big thing. When we lost those two guys, it affected our run game. So right. That's concerning to me, Ross.
Yeah, absolutely. And it certainly, you know, it's one thing to have to make that adjustment mid-game. It's another thing to have a week to prepare without those players. And I cannot imagine that Tre'Quan Smith sees the field this week. Just the scary hit that he took, I can't imagine. And we know that the Saints are a little bit more careful than other teams around the NFL, like let's say the Chicago Bears, for instance, when it comes to concussion protocol. So we'll see exactly what it is. But they'll have a week now to sort of institute and figure out how it is that they want to work the run game and work other players into those positions. The good news is that behind Tre'Quan Smith, you've got other blockers at the wide receiver position. You've got Juwan Johnson that you can bring up from the practice squad. You've got Marquez Callaway, who does a very good job there as well. And then over on the tight end position, that's where I'm going to be really interested to see what they end up doing without Josh Hill, if Josh Hill can't go. Do they bring Garrett Griffin up, who's a fantastic blocker at that position? Or does that just end up meaning that we do, even if Jameis Winston is the starter at quarterback, that we do see a pretty heavy, or not, let me not say heavy, I'll say healthy amount of snaps for Taysom Hill in that spot, who, you know, can also contribute as a blocker in the run game.
You know, Ross, going back to the running game, because you have I'm assuming this will be Jameis Winston starting under center on Sunday. Do you expect Peyton I know the offense is going to change because they got a new quarterback, but to kind of try to shorten the game, running the ball more, they keep the ball out of harm's way with Winston throwing the football?
Yeah, I mean, I do see that quite a bit, actually. I think that the Saints do want to rely on the run game. It's the same thing that they did with Teddy last year, right? They went really heavy in the run game. They utilized the run game so much that Saints fans started asking whether or not Drew Brees was changing plays, the line of scrimmage to get away from the run, which obviously was not the case. But, you know, you saw them really lean on the run game, and Teddy Bridgewater didn't have the reputation of giving the ball away that Jameis Winston has. Now, we have to remember, too, that the 30 interceptions from Jameis Winston last year, his first year under Bruce Arians, notable that a quarterback's first year with him tends to be very interception prone. So, but I don't think that you still want to push that. You don't want to push Jameis Winston in a position to where he's starting for Drew Brees for the first time, unplanned, and, you know, you had a week to build a system around him and install an offense around him. I still think that you want to lean a little bit toward that run game, especially when you know that you have a heavy and healthy run game with Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. So, yeah, I could really see them establishing sort of comfort and maybe, I don't want to call it conservatism, but I could see them really leaning into the run game a little bit, at least until they're comfortable and Jameis is comfortable or whoever ends up throwing the ball, which I agree with you. I do think it's going to be Jameis, but I think that they start there and then build from there.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the Falcons, a totally different team the last month as compared to the first month of the season. Obviously, the coach and change with Raheem Morris, and the first month it looked like, but the Falcons weren't really a detail oriented team, not grasping the concept of covering onside kicks, etc. talk about the opponent on Sunday, a 3-1 Falcon team in the last four.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the big change that you have to start with is Raheem Morris. I mean, surprise, surprise, Dan Quinn was the big issue in Atlanta. You know, I mean, I think that when you look at what Raheem Morris has done, particularly over on the defensive side, they're blitzing more, they're utilizing their second-level defenders, their linebackers in the pass rush game, which has allowed them to get a little bit more pressure on quarterbacks. They still have a talented back end in terms of their secondary, but their secondary really, I mean, the safeties are, you know, still very much box safety guys that want to get involved. They want to hit. They want to play close to the line of scrimmage. There's still places where you could take advantage of this defense. It's just about buying the time that you're going to need. And remember that Jameis Winston also holds on to the ball a little bit longer than Drew Brees does, so that's going to be a bit of a change for the offensive line as well. Over on the offensive side, one of the big adjustments and one of the big things that you've seen that's really made a difference for them over the last couple of weeks is getting Julio Jones back, but not because Julio Jones has been, you know, any more effective than usual, but because Calvin Ridley is more effective when Julio Jones is on the field. And so I think that that's one of the other parts of this game that you've seen really start to open back up for them over on the offensive side, while they've also improved on the defensive side from what you've seen earlier on in the season.
Speaking with Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, and of course the editor of Canal Street Chronicles, I want to ask you about a player on the Saints defense here, because I know obviously the offense is a big storyline in this week, but DeMario Davis had one of the best bites after the game when he was asked about Kwon Alexander. He said, what did you think of him? He goes, man, you're faster than I thought. Man, is he fast. I love hearing speed and athleticism, Ross, coming to the Saints defense, in particular in that linebacking group.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, Gus, you and I talked, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, about Rashawn Evans coming out of Alabama and about how he would have been a great first-round pick for the Saints at that time when he was coming out because of exactly that, speed and athleticism at the second level. And that's something that the Saints wanted. That's something that the Saints thought that they might be able to get out of Nigel Bradham earlier on in the season, in this offseason. They brought him in. That didn't work out, but now they get a guy in Kwon Alexander. I'm actually in the middle of working on my film study about him right now because his game, you know, he was up and down as you would expect for somebody that was getting their first start with a defense that he hadn't played with yet so far this season. But he really opened up opportunities for DeMario Davis and the other players around him. There's no big surprise that, you know, you add an effective linebacker beside DeMario Davis, and then all of a sudden DeMario Davis goes off for this incredible game, as well as other players that actually play a bit at the linebacker position in the second level and close to the line of scrimmage, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins, who also had a good game. So you saw Kwon really bring, you know, additional coverage in the flats. He made a great play off of a boot action play that really just everything came together. That's something that the Saints were struggling with earlier on in the season. So he was a big difference maker in terms of what he was able to do himself and what his being able to carry certain responsibilities did to alleviate responsibilities from other players, just allowing them to play their game, such as Mario Davis.
I was asked this on Friday. We'll close up with an offensive and defensive player you think needs to step up. But I want to ask you specifically, and it's something Mark and I were talking about here with Taysom Hill last year, right? Teddy goes in. We didn't see much Taysom Hill. And look, I think this season, adding Emmanuel Sanders, Kamara playing the way he is, getting basically a fresh Michael Thomas back, Cook making some big plays, I almost feel like I'm okay with that if he needs to sit on the sideline to be a backup. But I don't know. How do you think the usage will be this week and moving forward?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch because, you know, Taysom opened up the first two games of last year before Drew Brees' injury with 14 and 21 snaps. He then went down to, I believe it was 4, 6, 13, 15, and then 11 over those five games with Teddy Bridgewater as the starter. So they kept him on the sideline quite a bit more, especially earlier on. And it makes sense, right? Because if you need the backup's backup, then you need the backup's backup to be healthy, and you don't want to put him in situations. Now, he doesn't really play special teams as much as he did last season, so I think that factors in, and that could help. So I think that we could see him get involved over the offensive side, but it is going to be up to the skill position players that you're used to seeing out on the field, that you, the guys that you mentioned, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and I really pinpoint as well, Jared Cook, as people that need to be able to step up this week and continue to produce. Because you look at, let's say we go back to the 2011 Saints offense, one of those big plays to Jimmy Graham, all of a sudden that becomes available to Jared Cook, those deep over routes that he used to run where he would cross the field, things like that. I would love to see Jared Cook be the player on the offense that steps up with Jameis Winston in the lineup here, because it just opens up a few more opportunities for him downfield, particularly down the seam, as well as the places for him to open up some availability to make some big plays.
All right, easy enough. How do you think things go on Sunday here in the Dome?
I think that the Saints can walk away with this win. I think that they have an advantage of the fact that they're at home, obviously, in this situation for Jameis. And look, Jameis is also put together. I talked to Aaron Freeman, who hosts Locked On Falcons. We did our crossover episode yesterday, and one of the things that he talked about was that, one of the things that he talked about was that Jameis seems to have Drew Brees-like numbers up against the Falcons over his 5 years there. And he's completed 66% of his passes against the defense, 25 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, over 100 passer rating for most, I think, all but two of those games, multi-touchdown games in all but one or two of those games as well. So I do think that you can see them come out and get this win. I do think maybe it's a little bit closer than what we've seen over the last 2 weeks. We might get back to one of those three-point wins, but I think a win nonetheless.
Right, so a win. That's what I like to hear, Ross. That's what I like to hear. What can folks find over on the Locked On Saints podcast, sir, and over on Canal Street Chronicles to get you ready to, you know, amp yourself up enough for that noon kickoff?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot going on. I mean, all throughout this week, we've really been looking at what this team will look like under Jameis Winston as opposed to under Drew Brees, the air yards conversation, the downfield conversation, all of that. That's all over at Locked On Saints. And I've also got a nice conversation with Deuce McAllister coming tomorrow, as we previewed that game and talked a little bit about this, you know, this running back tandem, this offensive line, really broke down the offense and what you might see with Jameis from Deuce's days in with the Saints offense, where they did attack downfield a bit more. So we talked a little bit about those concepts. You can find that at Locked On Saints. And of course, you can catch everything that I'm writing over at Canal Street Chronicles. Got a Quan Alexander film study coming soon, as well as everything you need to know from the betting side as well. And you can follow all of that. The easiest way to get all of it is one place, just to follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola.
There it is, easy enough. And, of course, each and every Thursday right around this time, 1:15 to 1:30 on the Sports Hangover. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Always, brother. Talk to you soon. Appreciate you, Mark. Y'all take care. Stay safe.
All right.
For sure. Gus Cattingale, Mark Shafisi with you, Jordan Kleber.
One thing he did say, talking about Winston's success against the Falcons, well, mm-hmm. Raheem Morris is running it now and has the final set of defense. So that may be a little fly in the ointment there, but Winston's playing for a much better coaching staff right now. So that probably evens out.
He's being asked if he has. And I know Tampa had talent and weapons, but they're different players.
Yeah.
I don't want to call them selfish. They're different players. And this team, I think, believes in them, and that's important. And you know what? It's the Falcons. Go take care of some business. That's what I want to know.
They need to win.
It's not like Jameis doesn't know this team. He's played them.
They have an effective.
We haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, they have an effective 2-game lead over Tampa Bay. But the division, they have to keep winning.
Fantasy football questions. Next, Mr. Ben Eisler. Join us on ESPN New Orleans. I want to be with
you. Brothers and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is paying the taxes on every item you purchase up to $4,000.
At Ramsey's, we give you a magical price.
And offer you long-term financing.
With approved credit and until the end of the day on Saturday, we're even paying all the taxes for you.
If someone says they can give you a better deal,
don't believe one word of it.
My sister and I were born in New Orleans.
We're not going to let you down.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Find out what happens when road rage takes a deadly turn. Rent Unhinged, now available at Redbox, starring Russell Crowe. He's a man whose actions escalate to deadly proportions as he becomes single-mindedly determined to teach a divorced mother a lesson after she impatiently honks at him at a red light. Watch Unhinged, along with other new movies, and make it a Redbox night. Head to one of the 40,000 Redbox locations, stream on your smart TV, or visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party... Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Ready for an oil change? O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need. Our professional parts people can suggest the best products for your car and budget, like 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil, just $28.95. Plus, earn a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate and double O rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Here we go, baby. Let's talk a little fantasy football. Ben Heisler joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis. The way to do so each and every Thursday. Jordan, you're shaking your head. I'll ask you why you are in a quick second. First, good afternoon, Ben. How are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I like the fact that I came in with a little big pun because, like the song, I'm not a player, I just crush spot.
Oh, okay. I see what you just did there. Wow, you chuckled there, Jordan. So finally in a good mood. Why are you in a bad mood? Why in a bad mood?
Because, I mean, my fantasy team's just falling apart by the week.
Falling
week by
apart.
Week by week.
Jordan, in case you didn't know. This is every week, dude. Like, how many times I come on, I'm excited to talk to you.
Who's your starting quarterback, then, Chase Daniel?
You know, You're turning into like Eeyore over here about your fantasy team. Like, what are we doing wrong?
I don't know what we're doing wrong. Players are getting injured. Players aren't performing like they used to be performing. And the other weeks I've been getting lucky, and now the past couple weeks, luck hasn't been on my side. You know,
sounds like a you problem.
It is it is a me problem. It's my own fantasy football team.
While you wallow in your misery here, come up with some thoughts.
You even
a real thought
even
as to what you want to ask
lineup
him.
Last
okay.
Week.
Well, again, come up with a question for Ben. His time is valuable. Michael on Twitter: Chase Edmonds or CeeDee Lamb in a flex position, sir?
I really like Chase Edmonds tonight, even though Kenyon Drake is going to be back. This is an exciting matchup. We saw what happened last time, and Edmonds actually had his best performance of the year the last time he played Seattle back in, let's see, week number 8 in a 37-34 victory. He only carried the ball 5 times, still had 58 yards on the ground, but he was targeted 7 times in the passing game, ended up catching all 7 of those targets for 87 yards. And with CeeDee Lamb, it's an intriguing matchup against Minnesota considering how bad they've been all season, but they're starting to play their best football. And I do wonder about Andy Dalton and what that's necessarily going to look. I don't know if it's going to get worse for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not sure it can get much better. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and give me Chase Edmonds and what I feel is going to be a very high-scoring, high-octane game tonight.
Easy enough to kind of look at it. Yeah, it should be a fun game tonight to check out here as well. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to ask Ben Heisler a question. Sports Illustrated fantasy and gambling expert over there. Jordan, do you have your thought yet before I go to a real question? You still can't come up with
one. I'm on the waiver. I've been making moves.
You're something else. All right, look, a Saints fan text me. It's got to be a Saints fan. Jameis Winston, am I starting him this week?
I mean, the matchup is intriguing, right? Like, he's going up against Atlanta. They've been all sorts of a disaster on defense up until the last couple weeks. Dallas defense has been playing a little bit better, but these games always tend to be high scoring. They tend to be back and forth. But, I mean, think about it from this perspective, guys. You know, the Falcons' defense has given up 38, 40, 30, and 30 points the first 4 weeks of the season. Then, look at these numbers. 23 in the loss to Carolina, 23 against the Minnesota Vikings, 23 again to the Detroit Lions, and then 17 and 27. So, it's not great, but it's certainly improved from where it was before. And now that the Saints are getting more offensive weapons back, it's just probably a matchup that I think Jameis can take advantage of. So, yeah, I do think he's a startable option this week, and I'm excited to see how much more opportunities the Saints will take downfield, knowing that that's the type of game that Jameis likes to play.
I know you kind of just mentioned CeeDee Lamb, but I have another question. CeeDee Lamb or Sammy Watkins this week?
I just don't know what you're going to get from from Sammy Watkins week in and week out. I mean, the matchup for Watkins is really, really juicy, but you just don't know how healthy he's going to be. And also considering the fact that the Raiders have dealt with all sorts of COVID situations through the bulk of their defense, puts them in an even better matchup here. But you just never know how often he's going to see the ball, and I think with Lamb, you're going to get a few more consistent targets. So I think Lamb's the safer play as far as volume and opportunities. The higher upside play, even though there's a lot more risk involved, probably with Watson.
Speak with Ben Heisler every Thursday we do so. Any fantasy football questions around this time, we'll take them, pass it along here as well. It's an interesting, intriguing matchup for me after the Saints take on the Falcons. That's the 3:25 kickoff, Packers and Colts. Indy kind of surprising a lot of folks, and obviously we've seen the Packers being 7-2. In that matchup, any sit-downs or starters that you would see just based on that matchup there?
I mean, I still think when it comes to Green Bay, you know that Aaron Rodgers, at least at this point this season, remember the last few years it hasn't necessarily been the case that you go ahead and play him every week. But I still think based on the amount of volume that he's getting in the passing game, you still should take an opportunity. Now, of course, you're going to play Devontae Adams in the mix as well. Aaron Jones has a really tough matchup, though, against the Colts front seven. They've been top five against the run this year. But conversely, on the other side, a couple guys that I like include Nyheim Hines, who is seeing more volume both as a runner and as a pass catcher. If you have Jonathan Taylor, this might be the last opportunity to use him as a flex, just because the Packers' run defense has been atrocious throughout the course of the season. And then at the wide receiver spot, Michael Pittman, turning into a pretty solid option, the rookie out of USC, has had 15 targets over the last 2 weeks, has 11 catches for 157 yards, hasn't gotten into the end zone yet, but was targeted three times and caught all three of his targets from Phillip Rivers. So I think those guys are absolutely in play, and maybe you can even roll the dice with Robert Tonyan as well. He seems to always get some of those last-minute red zone opportunities for the Packers, and I think if you're going to try to beat the Colts, probably in the middle of the field.
Got a pair of Twitter questions we'll get to after Jack. Jack, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got for Ben?
Hey, well, Ben, you kind of answered my question. I picked up Michael Pittman in a couple leagues because I really like Indianapolis' schedule the rest of the year. But just to give you a little insight into Jordan's problem last week was he was vastly overmatched. He was vastly overmatched. That was a problem. Look, I have a team. Only half the players in this league are paying attention. My team has Kamara and Devontae Adams. I mean, I have McLaurin. It's ugly, and it's going to get uglier.
Jack, I don't need you coming and ambushing this segment. I'm the commissioner. I might have to deduct some points off of your overall standing and maybe bump you down a notch. My team put up a fight last week. My team put up a fight last night. I mean, last week. So I'm still proud of them.
It did. I'm proud of them too. They did all they could. It just wasn't enough. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
There you go. And it's nice, Ben. We just sit here and just listen to trash talk.
Well, Ben, it would be nice if Gus would set his lineup.
Anybody else in this league that wants to call in and get some thoughts out, I'm definitely intrigued.
Yeah, don't throw me under the bus. Back to Twitter we go. Michael's got a Twitter question for you, Jordan.
Yeah, Devontae Booker or Latavius Murray?
Ooh, so Devontae Booker's actually put up some really solid numbers over the last few weeks. You know, he had 16 rushing attempts for 81 yards. He has three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks and gets a Kansas City defense that will probably be out in front quite a bit. So I actually think Devontae Booker could get some run in this game, get some garbage time points and volume. I know that the Raiders beat the Chiefs for their only loss of the season, but wouldn't expect that this week. I think this is an absolute slaughter from Kansas City. And consequently, I do think Devontae Booker will get involved.
Chi-Chi, get the Yayo over on Twitter. I think I said that right.
Yeah, well, you got to say it a little better.
Chi-Chi, get the Yayo.
There we go.
Over on Twitter. Not a humble brag. I need three running backs. Clyde Edwards, Hilaire, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, or Miles Sanders?
So three of those four.
All right. I think it's crazy as it sounds. Let's see. Clyde Edwards, Hilaire, Miles Sanders, and then give me those other two one more time.
Derrick Henry and Aaron Jones.
This is going to sound a little bit nuts, but I think I think you sit Aaron Jones. I do think the Colts defense is that good against the run. I think the easy decision would probably be to sit Clyde Edwards-Helaire because you just have no idea whether or not it's going to be him and how much the Chiefs are going to go with the run. But the Raiders defense has just been gashed against the run all season long, and it's really been an Achilles heel for them. So I think Edwards-Helaire is in play. I would understand sitting him over Aaron Jones, but I do think he has the better matchup.
At Benny Heiss is the way to follow Ben Heisler on Twitter at SI Gambling and at SI underscore fantasy. Two other follows for sure. Ben, when people go to SI, those two certain sections, what can they find?
They can find a boatload of information, especially when it comes to the week 11 slate. You can go to SI.com/gambling right now. We have a full preview, including a free play that's normally reserved for SI Pro members on tonight's game between the Cardinals and Seahawks. And then, of course, tomorrow our best bets will be out as well. And our low ownership value plays for daily fantasy with myself and Michael Fabiano will be out tomorrow as well.
Ben, always a pleasure, man, on Thursdays when we get to chat with you. Have a good weekend.
Guys, have a great Thanksgiving if I don't talk to you next week. And
that's
enjoy
true.
The football this week.
That's true. Maybe we'll get you on before then. We'll see what your schedule's like, man. I appreciate
you
it. Thank you.
Reach me. We'll make it happen. Mm-hmm.
We'll make it happen. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Mark Schaffisi, Gus Cattingale, Jordan Kleber in studio with you today. Mark, we come back. Andrew Allegretta is the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. He's got to work tonight. He's got a call. Tulane taking on Tulsa.
The Hurricanes.
I've heard that siren way too many times on the sideline. It's not a good sign.
You'd rather listen to KC.
The siren plays after a score. It's been imprinted in my head. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. I'm here to do
whatever I can. Great year-end savings start now. At Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade at Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail Business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
2020 has created demand for unexpected roles in sports, from plexiglass screen installers to video platform support specialists. Whether you're hiring for similar positions or more familiar ones, there's one place to go, ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it for free, ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale.
Time to preview Tulane Tulsa tonight, 6:30 ESPN National Television. Mark Schaffisi, I want to take you back, not even a week ago, though, back on Saturday after the game. Tulane just defeated Army. Head coach Willie Fritz had this to say, and we'll bring in Andrew.
Worried before the ball game. We had a great week of practice, and our guys just seemed kind of down and dead. And when we got out there in warm-ups, and luckily one of their coaches ran through the middle of us while we were warming up with about 30 guys and was trying to knock our guys over and stuff, and it fired our guys up. They came in the locker room, and they were ready to play, and so I appreciate that. And that was good.
I love that. I appreciate that.
Whatever it takes.
Exactly right. Andrew Allegretta, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, joins us at A. Allegretta. It's the way to follow him on Twitter. Andrew, I love that from Willie Fritz. He's always very open about certain things, let's say gamesmanship, that he always feels.
You know, that's great. And
I hate to always pull it back to this, but that story reminds me of times when I was at Virginia Tech, and you would go into other people's buildings, and they would play Enter Sandman, which is Virginia Tech's entrance at Lane Stadium, and you'd look around and like, what are you doing? You just fired up Virginia Tech, and they would come out and they'd put a pounding on you. So I like that story from Coach Fritz.
A big win, I think, for Tulane in a couple of areas, Andrew. We talked about it last week. It was a chance to go above 500. It broke a streak of 36 years. My wife's 39. So, I mean, she was three the last time they beat a ranked opponent. So you check that box. But also, more importantly, when I look at the stats, it's not glaring in terms of, you know, it wasn't 200 yards passing. It wasn't 200 yards, you know, by Pratt. It wasn't just, you know, a ton of yards rushing. It was almost just a complete sort of team win without being incredibly flashy. They just took care of their business.
Well, part of it is the fact, right, that Gus, Army is going to take away yards. They're going to take away possessions from you. In fact, I think Tulane had 22, 23 yards in that second quarter by the nature of the way that Army runs that triple option. So all of that stuff is going to be deflated in a game like Army. But what you like is the fact that Tulane goes up pretty big in that ball game. Army makes a good comeback in the second quarter, and then Tulane gets the football to start the third quarter. And unlike the Navy game in which they went into the locker room with a nice lead, they charged right down the field against Army and got themselves a touchdown and established control of that football game. So top to bottom, they played pretty darn well.
You know, one of the things, Andrew, when you look at that game as well is I saw something I've never seen before. And it's almost a thing that happens over at Tulane. I really do. I see things I've never seen before. Mark, have you ever seen a lateral six, or how did you call it, Andrew? On a kickoff, Tulane kicks the ball off to Army. It was the last score of the game. They're up 31-something. And then they try to do a lateral, like a flea flicker or whatever, and it's intercepted. I like the 7-yard line or something, and it's taken in for a touchdown. Well, how did you call it, Andrew?
You know, I just think I said he had an interception return for a touchdown on the kickoff return. I don't think I had anything terribly grand to say, but yeah, I've never seen anything like that. And I think technically in the book, because of the nature of the lateral, the fumble recovery, which is so odd when you have to kind of go through that. Can you imagine the guys up in the booth that have to score that thing that are flipping through the rule book to say, well, this and then that. So technically, it's a fumble recovery for a touchdown, but I've never seen anything like it, and I don't know that I ever will. Just kind of bask in the glow of those moments, especially when you're on the positive side.
We're going to get into Tulsa here in a quick second. Speak with Andrew Allegretto, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. They play tonight 6:30 on ESPN. But I want to kind of lead us into that by bringing up the other side of the football. We've talked a lot about Michael Pratt, the running backs, the receivers are starting to play a little bit better. That defense, Andrew, gave up a lot of points. Now, I get it. It's different offenses they've been playing, but they do seem to the eye to be playing better, kind of not making as many mistakes. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because they're going to need to if they want to win tonight and upset, again, the 25th ranked team of the country.
Yeah, exactly. So your point is true, Gus. The style fight and the fights that Tulane has had over the past couple of weeks are more advantageous for the way that they play defense or the things that they struggle in playing defense. Look, they're still not going to light the world on fire with the back end of their defense. The cornerbacks are good. They're not great. The safeties are learning and developing. But they've not gone up against teams that are going to stretch you with four or five wide receivers. Now, Tulsa is not UCF, nor is it Houston or SMU, but it is closer to that style. And they will try to stretch you out. And Zach Smith is a good quarterback for Tulsa. So, look, Patrick Johnson and Cam Sample, the defensive edge rushers for Tulane, are going to have to be on point. But those moments in which they do not get home, and obviously they're not going to get home every single snap, that back end of the defense is going to have to hold up here tonight. So, look, it will become a test once again for the defense here tonight.
Andrew, at the quarterback position with the Wave, Pratt's obviously sparked the team, not only with his play, but talk about, as you see it, or if you see it, the improved confidence in the team with him under center.
Yeah, you know what? The story I kind of go back to a bunch when it comes to Michael Pratt, and I was talking with Tulsa's play-by-play guy earlier in the week, and I made mention of this. This is not just the first time that Michael Pratt has won over a locker room. He's done it two consecutive seasons. He transferred high school as a senior without the guarantee to be the starter down in Florida. He goes in, he wins that job, and he wins over the locker room, and they have a tremendous amount of success down in Boca Raton at Deerfield Beach High School. And he's done the same thing here at Tulane. So there is clearly some sort of magnetism, aura, it factor, all of those sort of cliche things. But there's definitely a steadying confidence about Michael Pratt that the guys are able to rally around. And I think when you look back a season ago and know that he did that once before in high school, I think it magnifies exactly what he's accomplishing here at Tulane. It's not a flash in the pan. This is who Michael Pratt is, and the guys have been able to draw on that level of confidence from a young player.
28-24, the Tulsa Golden Hurricane beat 19th-ranked SMU at the time over the weekend. Andrew, handicap the Golden Hurricane. How are they? Because when I look at, quote-unquote, the tail of the tape, and you just look at both numbers from the team standpoint in comparison, they're either similar or the Waves score more points per game, and they're kind of give up the same amount of points. So how good is Tulsa?
I think they're pretty darn good, Gus. I think they're one of these teams that you kind of shrug off in part because of the name brand across their chest, which Tulane fans can certainly empathize with, right? It says Tulsa, and you go, oh, they can't be that good. But they've got one of the best defensive players in the conference. It's Saban Collins. He plays basically a Patrick Johnson-type role. They run a defense that is incredibly disciplined and difficult. They're going to drop eight throughout the course of this game, and yet, despite the fact that they drop eight, they tend to stop the run. So what do you do if you're an offensive coordinator? You can't run against the three-man front, and you can't throw into eight people in the backfield or into the second level there. And then Zach Smith is their starting quarterback, guys. He's up and down. You know, we can all empathize with a quarterback that kind of rides those type of emotional waves, but man, you blink, you bat your eye, you disrespect him for a second, and Zach Smith is throwing over the top against you. He did it against UCF. He did it against SMU. So they sneak up on you, and why that is, I'm not sure. I think this team is way more the 25th-ranked team in the country than Army was a week ago.
I've been there several times. I told Mark Shafisi going into the break before we brought you in that siren has been embedded in my brain. It just hasn't been good trips for Tulane over at Tulsa. And look, I do think things like that, and they might seem inconsequential to a lot of people, but when you want to turn a program around, places where you don't win, where you can all of a sudden start to win, they matter, right? So I think a good start for Tulane, that's my key of the game, get a good start to where you're not battling uphill at a place like that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, look, again, I keep borrowing phrases from Jimmy Ortino, but at the start of the season, he said Tulane's going to need to battle a few boogeymen throughout the course of the year if they want to have the season that they want. And that means taking down an SMU, means taking down a UCF, which both went over 2 there, but now you're talking about another place that's been a struggle. Now, Tulsa isn't a boogeyman because Tulane's beaten them 3 times in a row, but winning on the road consistently has been a boogeyman, and Tulane has been better this season. Is it 3 wins on the road so far, guys? I think that's what the number is, which is more than Tulane has had, you know, in any number of years. So they've established at least better confidence winning on the road, and I think this will probably be the stiffest test for them. And look, a lot is on this game, because if you get yourself a victory, you've essentially guaranteed yourself a winning season, especially with the Memphis game kind of a question mark right now. That game may or may not get moved. There's a lot of chatter around that game, and who knows what's going to happen with the bowl game. You can get this one. You can walk away from 2020, I think, feeling pretty good about yourself.
That's why we have him on Thursdays, to break it down. Perfect. Not only did he tell us a little bit about the Golden Hurricane, Mark, but he used the phrase boogeyman.
Can't beat that.
Can't beat that as well. And look, I'm with you. Borrow everything that you can from Jimmy. He played on an undefeated team. I mean,
I borrow from smart people. I feel smart people, I suppose.
I hear you. You'll never borrow anything from me. Thank you, Andrew. Every Thursday, sir, we'll talk to you tonight, 5:30 pregame, 6:30 on the Tulane Sports Network, of course. And I'm ready. Let's see what happens tonight. Let's see what happens.
See you soon, guys.
All right. There he goes, Andrew Allegretto. I think it is key. Look, in a different season, it didn't start the way it did. Some of those games kind of got away with big leads for Tulane. But, Mark, at the end of the day, again, I look at this year, LSU, Tulane, you name it, moving into next year, setting foundations for next year. I look at this year just a wash, because especially with Tulane, just like LSU, find out who your quarterback is, find out who your pillars are for the next couple years. Tyjae Spears will come back next year from a knee injury. and then we make a run when there's fans and it's real football
finish
again.
Finish strong and hopefully you can have a full spring.
Exactly right. Yeah. Sports Hangover continues next. We will lead off with Shemit Dua, Lee Sterling, Scott Alexander will join us as well. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.